Hallelujah. Well, we're concluding this series on wisdom and divine direction. And this is Strength 2.0, because we got more strength to receive today. Amen. So we're starting out with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. Isaiah 29:2-31, New King James Version. It says, he gives power to the weak. Amen. That's a blessing right there. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Amen. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that good? This is what this strength from God he wants to impart and impact your life today with provides. Philippians 4:13, very familiar scripture for many of us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's read that together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 6:10, Amplified Translation. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. Amen. 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 And then 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul was talking about the grace that was upon him. And he says it this way in the Passion Translation. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But God's amazing grace has made me who I am. And his grace to me was not fruitless. That means it was not non-productive or didn't bear no fruit. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength. And I know how he distinguishes it. But God's, talking about God's strength, God's grace is strength, God bless you. For his empowering grace is poured out upon me. So today, as we reflect on the communion table, I believe the Lord wants us to commit and continue in the word of wisdom and divine direction from last week for our lives this year, and that word is strength. Everybody say strength. So let's reexamine again the scriptures again about Jesus and how he grew strong. In Luke 2:40-52, there's indications of great strength that Jesus grew in, spiritual strength. In verse 40, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Now notice he grew strong in where? Spirit. Now I'm sure Jesus had the little muscles. I'm very sure he had a nice physique. But it didn't talk about his physique. It talks about his spiritual stamina and strength. Amen. And the grace of God was upon him. And then look at verse 52, same chapter, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man. So he's talking about also his physical strength. So last week I stated that I believe that without spiritual strength, you won't be able to do two things you need to be able to do well. First, without strength, your faith won't be able to receive from God. We found the reference in Hebrews 11:11, where Sarah also, by faith, Sarah also herself received strength and conceived seed. She received strength. This is God's empowering grace, his strengthening grace. Remember, grace makes strength available, but faith takes or receives that strength. So grace makes strength, faith takes and receives strength. So grace makes, faith takes. Faith takes what grace has made. There is grace, the grace of strength today for everybody in this room and everybody in this church for today, for this week, and for life. Somebody say glory to God. When Paul was facing a challenge, when he was saying the messenger of Satan was buffeting him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God responded to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, he paired that with, and he said, my strength is made perfect in what? Your weakness. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more if God allows, next week. Because you need to know things that you're weak in, you don't have to stay weak in. We haven't tapped in enough of God's empowering grace to overcome your personal issues and your personal weaknesses. There is a way. There's a way from God to overcome those weaknesses. Amen. And those vices that always seem to trap you and trouble you. Amen. Second, we said, without strength, your faith won't be able to resist the devil. So we said this, we said it this way many times before, just to repeat it. We learn by repetition sometimes. So Satan, sin, sickness, and sorrow are all synonymous. So when we say resist the devil, everything the devil comes with the devil's package. See, Satan comes to oppress you and tempt you to sin or try you and trouble you with sickness and torment you with sorrow. They're all synonymous. They run in the same family. So you have to be have to have strength to resist sin, the temptation, to resist sickness, the trouble in your body or in your mind, and to resist depression and discouragement, that sorrow that comes upon your soul. You got to have strength to resist, because we said this way many times before. Again, just want to click it down to you again so you can clearly see it. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. So if you have no strength, when the Bible says resist the devil, it's meaning all four of those things. Anything the devil brings. Anything that's an offspring of the devil. Amen. Sickness. Sin comes from is a form of death, spiritual death. Sickness is a form of physical death and debilitation. Sickness and disease. Amen. You got to resist it just like you resist sin. But if you have no strength to resist, you just embrace that sickness. You just allow that sickness to infect you and spread through you, and all you're doing is fighting symptoms. And if the devil can get you just to fight symptoms or fight sin instead of resist it, or fight sorrow and deal with negative, ugly, tormenting thoughts, you know, even thoughts, even Christians, thoughts they want to kill themselves, thoughts they want to die, even thoughts that I'm quitting, I don't want to do this anymore, I can't do it anymore. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now. Amen. We're going to take the communion table and enable the Lord to make us and keep us strong all year long, all month long. Are you listening to me? That's the purpose for this communion today. Amen. Everybody say strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And if and God says in James chapter 5, verse 7, if you can just put it up when I call it out, 5:4 verse 7, resist the devil. Who? Resist. That's not a suggestion. Resist the devil. So you got to resist sin just like you would resist Satan. You got to resist sickness just like you resist sin. You got to resist sorrow just like sickness, a disease coming on your soul. Disease is discouragement and depression. And that leads you to despair. It means I quit. I give up. I just lay down and take it. God doesn't want you to live that way. Amen. So we are to resist him steadfast in our faith. Your faith needs to be strengthened. So the strength we are mentioning here through the scriptures is not natural physical strength, nor mental acuity or academic prowess. It is the strength is spiritual strength. Everybody say spiritual strength. It is God's empowering, strengthening grace. Now, like we said, healing, for example, for sickness and disease, healing always becomes, but it's not always received. Because your faith has to be strong enough to receive it. Now, first of all, you got to have strong enough to believe it. But if you're weak, the scripture says in Romans 15:1, if you can put Romans 15:1, I know it's not in that one, but Romans 15:1 up there, it said the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So when you're weak, you're infirm. How? In your belief system. There's something wrong with your believer. Because you can't grip and grab the whole the promise of God. You're too weak. And we've said it before. When you're, if your faith is not strong enough, and I got this from Mark Hankins, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. So you find people with sickness always grunting and groaning, but they're never talking to that. Their faith is not strong enough. So you see what I'm talking about here? People let their mind course through without any restraint. Thoughts of depression, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of despair. And they never speak to that depression. They never speak to it. Why? Because their faith is not strong. Whew, glory to God. See, when you're, we then who are strong, how do you know you're strong? Your faith is strong. Now, when your faith is weak, it means there is a leak. I just heard that from the Holy Spirit. When your faith is weak, there is a leak. There's a leak in your spirit. Things that leak your strength and stamina. And your faith gets fatigued. Your faith gets faint. It gets tired. It can't push and stand on the promise of God. It gets easily pushed off the promises of God. Because of pressure of circumstances or persecution through people or problems that come and complicate your mind and control your mind. Well, this is enough to get you come to church this morning. Amen. Amen. There's more you're going to get on the Super Bowl. Praise God. This will change your life, save your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. The strong ought to bear the infirm as a weak. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So when you have a scruple of conscience, that means your belief system's injured. It's infirmed. That means you can hear the word, but it's hard for you to take delivery of that word. Mix faith with that word. Why? Because something's wrong with your heart. Because it's weak. When it's weak, it has a leak. Now, what are some of the things that leak and drain your faith strength? Well, unforgiveness is a big one. That's why he said when we take the table, we got to discern the Lord's body. You can't have any aughts against anybody. You can't have anything against anyone. Can't be mad at your husband, mad at your kids, mad at your family members, frustrated about your finances. You can't be harboring ill will. You can't be out there contributing to people's downfall. How do you do that? You talk about them. And that's where your faith has to be strong, because your faith has to be strong enough to learn the vocabulary of silence. When your husband and your wife is messing up, you not mouthing off. Because you keep your, you become weak because you start a leak. You got loose lips and they sink your ship. If something bad comes on the news or comes across through social media, your social media posts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, and you don't like it and you want to mouth back, you're going to cause yourself a leak. And you're going to cause yourself to be weak. Don't say, I mean, I'm preaching real good. You're preaching real good today, Pastor. Yes, I am. Praise God. It's all to the glory of God. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. If you eke out frustration because you've been fretting, and you, by you letting that fret, you bring weakness to your spirit every day and in every way. It reduces your faith to what we say, zero. Anxiety. You carrying the care instead of casting the care. That'll cause you weakness. it'll overload your faith, and your faith gets reduced to zero. Because he told us, be careful or be anxious for nothing. Amen. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the tax man said. I don't care what nobody else said, what they're going to do for you. Or the devil threatens you in your mind. Come on now. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Somebody say glory to God. So are you a weary soul warrior? Well, there's hope for you today. Because we were told in the scripture, we mentioned it again, we're not to grow weary in well-doing or doing good. Amen. Galatians 6:9, I think they have it up there. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. How do you know you're growing weary? You stop being faithful. You stop living by faith. You start walking by sight. That's a telltale sign. I'm growing weary. I stop releasing my faith. I stop walking by faith. I stop speaking in faith. What you do, simply put, you lay your faith down. And by faith, we receive from God. By faith, we resist the enemies of God that come into our life experience. If you lay your faith down, you're going to go down. So this is a directive, not a suggestion. A divine direction from God in his word. That's why it's called Strength 2.0. This is some of the more technical, tactical, practical aspects of you staying strong. We're not supposed to get tired. We're not supposed to get spiritually fatigued or spiritually dehydrated, exhausted, weary, and faint spiritually. Now let's look at 1 Kings 19:4-14. I'm going to read it off the screen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Doing good. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. Now, this is right after his great victory at Mount Carmel. Prophets of Baal on the other side. He on one side. He calls down fire based on a challenge. Whoever God answers by fire is the God, true and living God. And so he had this great, glorious victory at Mount Carmel. The fire came down, licked up their sacrifice, and killed all the prophets of Baal. And so he's running into the wilderness now because of a threat from Jezebel. Because he threatens to kill him before not too long, before the sun go down. So he said, and look at this, what he did. He just got a great victory. And he prayed that he might die. Some people today do that. Just take me on. Just get the insurance money. I want to get out of here. And they said, it is enough. That's what he's telling the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. It's enough, Lord. He's praying. That's not a prayer you don't want to say. This is not a role model prayer, okay? Just want to make that disclaimer here. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Keep going. Verse 5. And then he laid and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. So the angel came on the scene, said, get up. Then he looked, and there was by his head a cake baked in coals and jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. So he got fed. So sometimes not one time is enough. You need to be re-strengthened. Look at this, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time. Everybody say a second time. That's why you need strength times two. And touched him and said, arise and eat. The journey is too great for you. Now, I will tell you that 2019, like 2018, is too much for any person to sponsor and handle on your own. You need strength from God. Amen. To do the will of God this year. To do everything God wants you to do this year, you need his strength. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for your strength. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Keep going. And there went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding in the cave of discouragement and depression? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants, torn down their altars. Nobody else is serving God. Nobody else is doing this. Nobody else is giving. Nobody else is doing it. Nobody else cares. And I'm left, I alone. So then see his warped perspective. Because he's seriously depressed and discouraged at this point. And they seek to take what? My life. Just one woman wrote him a letter. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain, broke it in rocks and pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed the prophets of the sword. I am alone left, and they seek to take my life. So the question is, are you like Elijah today? Are you a weary warrior? Amen. And so you got to see that when you get tired, it's hard. Life gets hard. Church gets hard. Serving God gets hard. Giving gets hard. See, I believe Elijah didn't really want to die. He was just acting like many weary Christian warriors, despondent and in need of rest and sustenance. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, come unto me in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Amen. And sometimes we need to do that. And all the giants Elijah faced, perhaps none so devastated him as the giant of fatigue. Are you living on empty? Is your tank drained, spiritually speaking? See, we see Elijah fleeing in the desert where he collapsed under utter exhaustion and discouragement and even asked to die. Mighty used of God. But from his fatigued perspective, it seemed as though he had won the battle but was losing the war. He's complaining to God, I've done everything and everybody, nobody's serving him. So I'm the only one left, Lord, so just take me on. Like today, when we start to burn out and grow weary, we lose focus and clarity of three things. Number one, our God-given purpose. We forget the why. We often remember what to do, but we forget the why. Why we're doing this. Why we're coming to church. Why we're serving for God. Why we're giving. We lose perspective of the why, purpose, and we lose our heavenly perspectives. In other words, our mind's not set on heavenly things, the higher things. We're set on earthly things because that's all we're talking about. My problems, my pressure, my pain. And then our Lord's strengthening power. We lose clarity of the Lord's strengthening power, which is not based on a feeling. It's given by grace, but it has to be appropriated by faith. So we get weak. So, friends, there are three things that we must receive daily spiritual strength to avoid. We got to avoid three things. Write these down. One, two, three. Number one, bitterness. Now, we're not going to talk about bitterness today. That's a big one. That's a real big one. You got to avoid being bitter. You can't let the roots get in your heart and make you bitter. You're a bad person once you get that side. You're on the dark side. And then number two, burnout, which we're going to elaborate on a little bit today. And then boredom. Like we said last week, too often we just look for a new diet plan in the new year or a new workout plan. We get really motivated for the outer man, but really we need a renewed prayer plan. Because we need to live full of strength. The strength and energy saved today, you have for tomorrow. And so we said you've got to use wisdom and think and behave more energy efficiently. I mean, some people even come to church because they're burnt out and tired from working. So they can't pay attention. They can't focus. And their faith is fractured or weak, and they can't receive. We're giving word out, but the word's not getting in there. Because their mind and their heart is burnt out. You're not supposed to get burnt out. Amen. So you need to think and behave more energy efficiently. If I run 120 miles an hour all week and I'm expecting to sit and receive from God, you're going to be exhausted. And when you're tired, you can't yield to the anointing and you can't yield to the word of God. You've got to be wise and understand your thermostatic nature. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, I'm going to explain it just right now. That means as leaders of our homes, our families, leaders on our jobs, in our responsibilities of life, our energy sets the tone for those following our leading. If you have no energy or low energy, that's what you transmit and transfer. Y'all know the old expression. If so-and-so is not happy, nobody's happy. Now, so so-and-so, you just put fill in the blank. I know what they traditionally say, but you know what I mean. They control the tone and the thermostats. And some people do that in church. They're mad, they're upset, and they're telling everybody through their body language and their bad attitude that I'm bothered. I'm bored, I'm bitter, or I'm burnt out. Amen. There's an energy in this room. And like we've often said in our leadership meetings, those of you that have been privileged to be a part of that, you do two things when you come to church. Are you listening to me real good today? You either bring in energy and contributing positive energy, or you're taking it away. Some of us need to leave our wet blankets at home because we're trying to put out the fire just as much as we're trying to start the fire. Because when we catch on fire and we stay on fire and stay full of energy, people are going to want what we have. They're going to want this Jesus that came to live and die and rose from the dead for us. But when you look like you have to be resurrected from the dead, when we look like the first church of the frozen chosen and we're frozen out by formality and the form of our figure of our face, come on now, you got to see sometimes what I'm looking at. Praise God. Hallelujah. And some of you on your phones, you shouldn't be on your phones. You have your phone, you already disconnected from me. That's a little disrespectful. Pay attention. So if we walk out and serve out of bitterness, or we are burnt out and are bored and complacent, if boredom and complacency is fixed on our heart and mind, that will transfer and set the tone for those around us. Remember, leadership is a transfer of belief. In other words, people will believe it's okay to be bitter because, you know, the saints are bitter. The church folks are bitter. They always got some bitter tone to them, bitter taste to them, bitter talk coming out of them. It's okay to be burnt out because they look like they've been rung through a ringer several times, and they're always exasperated and exhausted because they're burnt out. and lead and serve God on empty. It's okay to be constant squander and waster, wander around bored and complacent, because then you judge people. You're a sideline critic. You judge and criticize everything and everyone. You're a commentator in your own mind, a critic in your own mind. You're always talking about people on TV, talking about stuff going on in the news, talking about people. You don't want to get a critical spirit. That'll drain your energy. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because, see, when you're on the sidelines, you're slowful because I'm bored. And some people, even as Christians, say, I'm bored. That's why I play games on my phone and play games even in church and get distracted and check email in church. Why are you bored? Why are you checking your social media? You supposed to be the media you're supposed to be listening to is the Word of God coming from God. Because God is talking to who? God is talking to me. What are you doing bored? In Christ, everything is brand new. Old things have passed away, all things become new. Every day is a new day in Christ. If you receive that by faith into that grace. Amen. You're never bored. So the question we've asked last week is what is our burn rate? That means how quickly do you burn when life is hard or when life hurts? Some people burn up quick. They burn out quick because both candles at the end of your life are burning, and it's a quick burn. So you got to know your burn rate. And then what's your bounce back factor? How quickly do you rebound and reengage when you experience a hit or hurt? Because ministry in life is a contact sport. You will get hit. Satan will try to hurt you. Amen? How long does it take you back to get back to doing the will of God and the work of God on time, in time, and in full strength and energy? God did not tell any of us to quit or retire early. You can't retire from the will of God. Let's talk a little bit more about burnout, practically speaking. Y'all can receive a little bit more, then we're going to receive communion. Friends, burnout, or let's just say it this another way, compassion fatigue. What is compassion fatigue? Well, let me break that down for you. You don't care anymore. You don't care anymore if I don't tithe. You don't care anymore if I show up late. You don't care anymore if I serve or not serve. You don't care if I miss church or not. You don't care if I don't bring anybody to church for weeks and months on end. I don't care. It's what we call compassion fatigue. You're not moved by compassion anymore. Compassion doesn't move you. We ought to all, like 2 Corinthians 5 says, let the love of Christ constrain us. That means love from God should be gripping our heart. Why? Because we're in love with God and we're in love with people and we let love dominate us. Burnout, compassion fatigue, or loss of passion. That means our passion, our fire is out. Call it what you will, but it is deadly to the Christian life and to ministry effectiveness. Truth is, burnout is battle fatigue. Everybody say battle fatigue. Turn to someone next to you and say, are you burnt out? Turn to somebody else and tell them, do you have battle fatigue? So like Elijah experienced, the first thing that occurs in a prolonged battle or burnout is loss of making wise and good decisions. You stop thinking. Now let's listen to some scientific proof of this. Friends, fighting itself uses alarm chemicals. Now pay attention to this. Adrenaline and cortisol, amphetamines, in the brain. In fight mode, we don't do much thinking. So we are commanded to obey our commander, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, blood flows from the physical action areas of the brain, motor cortex, and leaves the decision-making area, the cerebral cortex. So you drain yourself of making good decisions. You just in fight mode. And we often said, even in customer service areas, when I was with Church of Chicken, don't fight, make it right. We're not supposed to fight the devil. We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. That means you got to fight to stay in faith. And fight to keep your faith strong. That's the fight you're supposed to be in. Because the devil will make you two things, bad or busy, to keep you in the wrong fight. You fight in sin and temptation through the energy of your flesh, it will whip you. If you fight in sickness just by trying to fight symptoms and pain that you're experiencing, you will get whipped. You're in the wrong fight. Are you listening to me? So in fight mode, you don't want to see thinking. So memorizing and meditating on scripture can prepare you for the spiritual fighting, the faith fight, like learning to march in the military. Like when we learned to march in the military. Hut, two, three, four, you know, you running down, you know, mark time, march. Turn right, turn left. You learn to march in formation. And so, if you meet a demon, you don't need to decide whether it's good or bad demon. Jesus said, in my name, drive out or cast out devils. You cast it out. You don't play with them. You don't even fight with them. You resist them. And remember what's synonymous? Satan, sin, sickness, sorrow. So you automatically, when that depression and discouragement tries to blanket over you like a black cloud, you resist it. How do you resist it? You resist it by faith. You speak to the discouragement and depression. And you even do like Brother Copeland said one time when he was just suffering discouragement. And all of us have been tempted to be discouraged and depressed. So don't look at me in that tone of voice. Sometimes you got to shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. You got to say, Satan, leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? You got to say it. You got to speak it. Remember, because if your faith is not strong enough to what? Move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. And your mountain could be, I'm discouraged a lot. I get disappointed a lot. Because remember, repetitive disappointments lead to discouragement. And disappointment makes your heart, what? Sick. In other words, weak. The Bible says in Proverbs, we just read it last month, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's disappointments. And if you don't deal with disappointments, it's going to lead you to discouragement. And if you don't deal with discouragement, it's going to lead you to depression. And if you don't deal with depression, it's going to lead you to despair. Praise God. You got to go back and listen to this recording. Praise God. This is good stuff. Amen? So some of us don't even start with the disappointments. Your husband disappointed you. Your family member disappointed you. Your finances, the money you got disappointed you. If you don't deal with it, it's going to lead to discouragement. And he never told us to be discouraged. He told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Are you listening to me? Three times. Be strong and of a good courage. He never told us to be discouraged. You see, in the battle, the brain functions that reduce our pain and help us experience balanced neurotransmitters of endorphins and serotonin. Pain drugs like morphine run low and slow. In other words, you really start to feel the hit and the hurt. Therefore, you don't feel spiritual. You feel like you've been hit and beat up, and you feel like you've been hurt. And then this serves the lie that the enemy is telling you you're falling short, or what's going on? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Why if I keep constantly going through stuff? In other words, you're unworthy of God's goodness. You feel unworthy of God's goodness. Well, that's why he said, come to the table. And as often as you eat and drink, you put me in remembrance of me. He did it. He took your sorrows. He took your sickness. Amen. He paid the price for our sins. Somebody say glory to God. Finally, in this whole burnout situation, there's no feeling of peace. Your neurotransmitter, GABA, depleted. The alcohol and anxiety drugs, so to speak, that become anxious about everything. So you start worrying. You're carrying things that bother you over and over again. You can't seem to shake it and get rid of it. Now, Jesus, our Lord, held some keys to healthy burnout-proof lifestyle. Number one, purpose. Key number one was purpose. See, Jesus was driven by a singular focus. He didn't do all of the add-ons and the extras to stretch himself thin and wear himself out of what God graced him and empowered him to do. He stayed single-minded. Why are you here? Why do you exist right now? What's the Lord's will and design for your life? Stick to your purpose. So you remember the two objectives. We said again last week, I said it earlier, the devil desires to see, fulfill, and when he tempts and pressures you, is to make you bad. Get you off course, get you disobedient, get you in sin, so you go to the dark side. Then he can destroy you. Or he makes you busy. So you get exhausted and worn out and weary. Why? Because of unauthorized activities. Or financially fractured through unauthorized expenses. You're spending time, energy, and money on things you shouldn't be. Am I talking to somebody today? So then you quit doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing other things that you shouldn't be doing. He wears you out. Key number two is rest. Everybody say rest. So let's look at this one. Mark 6:31 through 32. He said to them, come aside by yourself in the desert person, rest a while. Everybody say rest. How often are you resting? Now, some people are sleeping all the time, but they ain't resting. The promise of God is to give you rest, that you lay down in peace and sleep. That means you get peace when you sleep. You get restorative, refreshing rest. What did he say? Come to me, all you are weary and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Amen. Enter into the rest of God. You do that how? By faith. For they that come in and going and did not have even enough time to eat. So they were so busy, they didn't even have enough time to eat. But the devil, look, Jesus knew the devil's trying to wear them out. He said, come away. Get out of the firing line. And rest. So they departed a desert place and boat by themselves. Everybody say, you got to be by yourself sometime. Amen. Matthew 14:13-23, he says it another way. And Jesus heard it and departed in there in the boat and desert place for himself. And when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when they had sent him the multitudes away, they went up to the mountains by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Now, notice we see Jesus alone at times, and Jesus tells the disciples to come away at some time. It's amazing when you study Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times he told them to come away. So you got to relax and reflect daily. Do you have your throne time? Do you have your times of solitude and reflection? You got to recreate and rest weekly. That means if you don't take a day off, you're going to burn out, be a burnout candidate. Take a guilt-free day off. Amen. And you got to retreat or vacate quarterly, semi-annually at least. Amen. Some people need a sabbatical. You need a sabbatical from an activity or an assignment that is wearing you down. And so you need to take a sabbatical. A sabbatical is at least 30 days to 90 days. That means you don't touch it. You don't deal with it. You get away from it so you can recover and get healthy so you can go back in again. See, these are some of the principles of the Sabbath that predate the law, just like tithing does. Because when God created the world for 6 days, the seventh day, he did what? He rested. See, violating this principle causes us to experience the effects of the curse. So sometimes it's self-imposed or self-induced curse because we're not resting. We're not resting our spirit by faith. We're not resting our soul. Because he said he'll lead us beside the still waters. He restores my soul, your mind, will, and emotion. That means you need to shut off from things that stimulate and strain on your mind. And then you need to have good sleep and rest in your body. Restorative rest. Somebody say glory to God. But all these can be accessed by the grace of God by your faith. You got to rest. I used to listen to Brother Hagin. He would say, he would pray, and he'd have hundreds of people lined up. But sometimes he said, get me a chair. Sit down. Why? Because he didn't want to go past the point of getting tired when he was praying for people. And he said when he was tired twice, the anointing lifted on him, and he was ministering people out of the energy of his flesh, which was hurting him and hurting the people, and not through the overflow of his spirit. Some of us are trying to minister out of the energy of our flesh. We hadn't prayed up. We hadn't prepared our spirit. And, you know, when you're not prayed up or prepared your spirit, there's a Super Bowl football game happening today. And it's like playing football without a helmet or pads. Now, you get up and run down that field and run into somebody without a helmet, without pads. That's like doing ministry or doing life as a Christian without prayer and without the power of God. You're going to get hurt. You're going to take some hits. And you're going to lay on the ground. Amen. So we must have a healthy baseline and a balance to know when to rest, how to relax, when to recreate, when to retreat. Amen. You can't do everything right now. So channel your focus and energy on what matters most and what matters now. Key number three, relationships. So Jesus, our Lord, maintained healthy relationships, both vertically with the Father and horizontally with others. You notice he didn't hang around the religious folks. He wasn't running with the folks that would drain him. Some of us have relational vampires. They suck the life and energy out of you. Well, let me keep going. Praise God. Amen. And some of us need to establish stronger faith friends that refresh and recharge you. Amen. Because unfortunately, too many of us try to be lone rangers. We're drinking our own Kool-Aid and swallowing our own stew. And it's not healthy. Key number four, delegation. You can't do everything. Jesus was a master of discipleship and delegation. He equipped and empowered others and released into ministry. A ministry of divine-driven purpose, refreshed by healthy rhythms of rest, enriched by relationships, and lightened by delegation, will never burn out. Are you listening to me? Now I'm going to skip to the second part. Because spiritual strength is sustaining during adversity and affliction. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. Proverbs 18:14 says it this way in Amplified, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up or bear? So God gives you strength and energy you need for today. Do you believe that?
Yes.
But also for life. But he expects you to steward the energy and use it wisely. So don't burn your energy and strength on things that are frivolous or not what God calls you to do. Because you're supposed to redeem time and not waste and squander time. 2019 is a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you don't run a marathon like a sprint. You don't use up all your energy on the first 2 miles. You got, how much is it? 26.2 miles. If you use up all your strength and sprint the first 2 miles, you're going to be running out of gas. You ain't going to make it to mile 20, much less mile 26.2. Amen. If you lack wisdom on the front end, it causes you to lose energy on the back end because you're using all your strength and energy for stuff that the Lord did not tell you to do. Amen. If you don't use wisdom on the front end of this year, you lack the energy on the back end of this year, and you'll have this testimony, like we said last week, I'm tired. That's not a good testimony. Because, see, friends, even people with high energy can have that energy sucked right out of them under difficult circumstances. You need to get renewed. You need to get refreshed. You need to get restored and revived. Amen. So here's some ABCs of energy drain. I think I have it in your handout there. A, activity without direction. That means you do things that don't seem to matter. You're just busy, bothered. You always got to be doing something. Sit down and get refreshed and re-energized. And then burden without action. You're not able to do things that really matter. So your heart's incomplete. And in your spirit, you have leaks. C, conflict without resolution, not being able to deal with what's the matter. What's bothering you? What's really bothering your heart? You take it to the Lord. You got to judge yourself at the communion table. Lord, I've struggled to receive my healing. Tell him. Amen. So you can be strengthened. Second, God gives you enough strength and energy to accomplish his purpose and plan in the time frame he gives you. Why? Because when you get tired, you're worn out, you're weak, you're fatigued, you're exhausted, it's difficult. It's difficult to yield to what God wants you to do, the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when you're worn out, weak, and weary, you can't receive and you can't resist. So if you're weak today, it's time to get strengthened. Amen. If you're worn out and have low energy, it's time to get renewed in God's renewing strength and energy. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you.